was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome here to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands with my main man, Mr. B. B, I'm live here, man, out at a Super Pee-wee football game. I'm at a Super Pee-wee game. Man, these young fellas are doing their thing. You can hear in the background they're talking about this game. And I'm going to tell you something about this here in South Florida. Football is king here in South Florida, B, man. It's going on. I'm going to tell you something. You know, we got to get into a little bit of Johnny Football Manziel and the situation that he had going on this weekend when A&M faced Rice and some of the antics that have made some professional announcers a little ticked off with Johnny Manziel. But me, myself, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. I'm going to tell you about, we'll get into that later. Fans here listening to the Tony Sands Show, we are live at Super Pee Wee game here in Pompano Beach, Florida. But Pompano Beach Chiefs and the Deerfield Packer Rattlers are playing right now. The score is 18-14, and they're talking about that the players, the little Pee-wees, Super Pee-wees, which are 5 years old, can only play for 1 hour. And I think that is becoming a topic because at this point, the Deerfield Packer Rattlers are up, and they're trying to see do they end this game like this. But we're also going to get into a little Tim Tebow, as you know. Tim Tebow was let go by the New England Patriots, B. What's your take on this Tim Tebow situation?
Well, you know, I thought initially that he would, you know, make the team. After hearing Robert Kraft come out and say that he initially wanted Tim Tebow to make the team, we all thought that he would make it. But that turns out to not be. He was cut this past week, which is not – it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise. With Tim Tebow's play doing throughout the preseason, it wasn't great. And I think that, you know, now Tim Tebow is going to have to really sit down with himself and figure out if he wants to be an NFL player, he's going to have to change his position. He's going to take, and that starts.
Right, but you say he got to switch position. That's something that Tim Tebow is not fond of, and I don't think he wants to switch position, but if we see him switching position, if he does take that as an option, what position do you see him at? The only thing I can possibly see it on the opposite side of the ball, possibly really an H-back, and that is pretty much a hybrid type of tight end when you look at this day and age of football. So I'm trying to see, and I don't see Tim Tebow willing to take that. I think he's a guy of much pride. You got to figure his stature of playing the game. He's won so many games. Do this type of guy take playing H-back to start a quarterback, Pete?
I definitely agree with you. I agree with you. If he is going to change position, I think that's what he'll have to change it to, you know, possibly H-back, which is really becoming the fullback, the new fullback in this, you know, NFL, this day and age. The fullback is basically becoming distinct, and they're looking more for a versatile guy that can block, can catch, you know, and can possibly run the football when needed, when called upon. And if Tim Tebow wants to play in the NFL, the National Football League, he's going to have to change positions. Now, I've heard him say he doesn't want to change, but, you know, if it's his lifetime goal or lifelong goal to play in the NFL, yeah, I know he wants to play quarterback, but we're basically seeing he's been cut from what? This is his second time being cut. He was traded from the Denver Broncos, you know, because they no longer, well, I guess Peyton Manning was in town. But he's going to have to change, Tony. That's a no-brainer. I mean, unless he wants to go overseas and just do missions for the rest of his life, which is cool with me, you know, but if he wants to play in the NFL and be seen and be still that person that attracts so much attention by, you know, the fans and the media, he's going to have to change positions, Tony. That's a no-brainer. Like, I know he wants to play quarterback, but it's not looking like that's going to happen anytime soon.
And you can see why. When you go to the Denver Broncos, you already at the Denver Broncos, and the Denver Broncos bring in Peyton Manning. Then all of a sudden you go to New England, and they bring you in with Tom Brady. What's your chances beating out those two type of guys. And I think in those situations, I think they probably looked at Tim Tebow probably as a backup, possibly. I don't think Tim Tebow really wanted to be a backup. I think he always wants to be a starting quarterback here in the National Football League. But then we also got to understand, I think, and I wonder, is his willing not to will not to change to be an H-back with the New England Patriots played into a factor that, hey, if we can't use you as a hybrid type of tight end, because a lot of people may have thought that that's what Belichick would have done with the situation with Hernandez and Gronk.
Right.
But that, and that's what I thought. You know, you bring with the genius mind of Bill Belichick, you bring a guy in like Tim Tebow, you know he's not going to beat out Tom Brady. And all of a sudden, you have this guy, you lose Hernandez, he's done. And then all of a sudden, you got Gronk that's possibly out. You got Tim Tebow. A lot of people felt around this country that follows the New England Patriots that that's what Bill Belichick was bringing him in for. Now, we wonder if he decided that he didn't want to play that role, and that played into the factor of him being released by the New England Patriots.
You know, with knowing the type of guy that Tim Tebow is, I don't think he ever, you know, came out and said, you know, I don't want to play something else. I think it really just came down to, you know, what they needed, what was more of a need on their football team, and I don't think a third-string quarterback was a need, you know. I always thought that Tim Tebow could, you know, could play a tight end position with the athletic gifts that he's been given, you know. I thought he could play a tight end position and an H-back position, but obviously Bill Belichick, you know, Josh McDaniels, you know, they felt different. I really feel like this could possibly be the last time we've seen Tim Tebow in the NFL. Because, you know, if you look at it, Josh McDaniels drafted him to the Denver Broncos. If anybody could have, you know, if any team he could have stayed on and worked at his craft and becoming a better quarterback, I thought the Patriots were the best team or the best fit for him and for that. But with that not happening, I don't really see him going to another franchise and trying to become a quarterback and learning their position there. You know, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
And that's what I'm saying. But now let's jump to, you know, and I'm because we got two outstanding high school guys that we're bringing on here to the Tony Sands. So we're going to bring on, as far as the rushing, he's a wide receiver for Cardinal Gibbons High School. One of the top wide receivers in the country. He's committed to Louisville. If you notice and see the things that Louisville are doing, they're doing some great things. Charlie Strong has that team playing unbelievable football.
Great football.
He is playing, and you got to understand, they have the number one quarterback, rated quarterback going into the NFL next year. And Teddy Bridgewater. And I had an opportunity to watch this young man play here in South Florida, and I knew that this young man would be a star wherever he go. And he was committed at one point to the University of Miami, but Charlie Strong got the job at Louisville. He decommitted. Charlie Strong came in and picked up Teddy Bridgewater and several other South Florida players because he knew if he wanted to get back on top. And you understand, Charlie Strong came from the University of Florida, and he knew what good athletes could do, so he took that breeze, said, okay, I'm going to go back to Florida. I got to recruit the same type of guy that I recruited at the University of Florida, bring him up to Louisville, and we could do some things. I see them as getting as high as probably rated in the top five once this thing plays out, big-time PCS game. But like I said, George Rushing is one of the receivers that he picked up here in the South Florida area. This young man, week before last, had what was it, 8 catches, 150-some yards, and 2 touchdowns. And they're victory. They play Everglades this week. Joining the Tony Sands Show, we have George Rushing, wide receiver from Cardinal Gibbons High School. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, George. Have we got George with us yet? We're going to stay tuned, and they'll let us know in my ear once we get George. Let's hear it a little bit also. Now, and understand, Johnny Manziel had some situations going on in the Rice game that kind of ticked a lot of people off. kind of kick some people off. What's being stated out in Texas about the situation and the antics that Johnny Manziel did in that game?
Well, a lot of people are saying, well, from what I've been hearing, you know, that he was basically taunting the NCAA. And I guess the opposing team, which is a team in University of Rice. But, you know, those antics with the money sign and the sit sign and the signature, I honestly don't have a problem with it. And I don't have a problem with it mainly because I dislike the NCAA. You know, and I think that's what his antics are directed at. Not necessarily directed towards the opposing team, but directed towards the NCAA, like, you know, I beat y'all, basically. And I really don't have a problem with it. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm only saying that because the NCAA is a crooked organization right now. And I really think that, you know, he's just rubbing it in their faces that they were unable to suspend him for the season or for however many games. I'm not upset with him about what he did.
Yeah, when I said positive, you know, you're saying that he's rubbing it in. But you got to remember now, people got to understand, Johnny Manziel did some of the finger gestures last year that he's doing this year. I think it's drawing more attention, but the simple fact is that Johnny Manziel is the Heisman Trophy candidate. And I think it's drawing more attention because of some of the things that he's done off the field. Now, him going back where he's signing his autograph, I think, that was a deliberate attempt to go after the NCAA. I think, and I tell people all the time this, Johnny Manziel will wind up being the lead guy and guys challenging the NCAA that you got to prove it. You may know it, but you got to prove it. And I think it's going to be on the back of Johnny Manziel. And later on, a lot of athletes are going to thank Johnny Manziel just for that, because that he did. He's opened the door for guys to go after the NCAA. You got to figure, like I said, Dez Bryant didn't get that opportunity. He took his suspension, and that was it. Johnny Manziel and his family was not going to allow that to happen. They were not going to allow it. And we're going to get a little bit more into Johnny Manziel. We're going to head to a commercial break, and then we're going to get some of our high school guys on. We're going to get dig deeper into Johnny Football Manziel here on The Tony Sands Show.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome back here to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, and you're joined home with me and my main man, Mr. Bibbs, as we talk the sports throughout the nation. But joining us from Deerfield Beach, Florida, one of the top running backs in the country, a guy that is blazing the trail, a guy that rushed close to 1,000 yards last year with the NFL Peach Bucks. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Aaron Bone Crusher McNeil. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Mr. Sands?
Nothing much, man. What's happening? What's going on? You guys got a tough one this week. What was practice like today to prepare you guys for the Ely Tigers on Saturday?
Practice today was very tough. We conditioned a lot, went over a lot of techniques and more of a lot of teaching this year. And most of all, we have more conditioning, so no players won't get tired because we need every second we can on the field this Saturday night.
Okay, now, Aaron, you had an exceptional year last year, and they call you guys the two-headed monster because you have yourself and you have Brandon Powell. What are some of the things you're looking to accomplish this year in the season? Give me some of your goals that you're looking to accomplish.
I'm looking forward to accomplish at least 1,200 yards. Looking for at least being one of the top two, top three backs in the county. I'm just looking forward to getting a little more offers and just balling out.
Now, you guys have a team, and everybody's talking about the Deerfield Beach Bucks. They're saying how you guys are stacked. Team-wise, what are some of your team goals? Give me some of your team goals that you guys have on your boards looking to accomplish in this 2013 season.
For our first team goal is to try to put up 28 points on every team.
Uh-huh.
Always, every game, at least rush for 200, no loafing, and just to get to the playoffs and actually go farther this year.
Now, Coach Jackson is pushing you guys hard because I know Coach Jackson won a taste of a state championship. What is it like when you got two backs like yourself and Brandon complimenting each other? What is that like for you guys? How do you guys do that? Is it something that just comes natural to you guys? One guy look after each other. How does that play out in the backfield when you got two backs like yourself?
It comes natural and it play out very well because we've been playing with each other for a couple of years and actually started on Little League football playing together. So it complements very well. We know how to share the ball with each other. And we just know each other's assignments and just go off each other.
And I'm going to tell you, they call you guys one of the best backfields in the state of Florida. And I'm quite sure once this recruiting season gets started, Mr. McNeil will be on the boards of a lot of Division I schools. Because I was filling calls today, getting on the phones, talking with some schools today. What are some of you? Do you have a school in particular in mind that you would like to see yourself playing for in the 2014 season?
I would like to play for Michigan.
Okay.
I'd like to play for Michigan because that's what Denard Robinson went to.
Now you say Michigan.
I like to represent them.
Now you say Michigan. Does it have anything to do with the fact that Denard Robinson, Mr. Shoelace, played for Deerfield Beach and also went to Michigan? Or is it the colors? What is it?
It can be from Denard Robinson actually going there and actually how the offense is set up.
Okay.
They got a good offense.
Now you say the way the offense is set up. Elaborate a little bit on what you mean by that, the way the offense is set up.
Like they have some of a spread and some of a run. Like they can do both. Like their running backs can catch out the backfield or they can run.
Okay. Hey man, I'd like to thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. Give me your prediction, and I'm gonna let you pick a game. I'm gonna let you pick another high school game locally in the state of Florida. Booker T against Miami Central. Give me your prediction on who you think is gonna win that game.
I'll go with Booker T.
You say Booker T? Why do you say Booker T over Miami Central? Now you know Central is tough. Central is tough too now.
Central's tough. Central's tough,
yeah.
But Booker T been on a strong road for the last couple of years.
Okay.
So I love Booker T.
Now, does y'all path to the state championship have to go through either one of those schools?
if we have to go through either one of those schools, we just have to show up to play. So that's what we're doing right now. We're setting ourselves up.
What I would love to see, if y'all had an opportunity to play Miami Central, why I say that? Because I want to see David Cook and Unity against Tony Crusher McNeil and Brandon Powell. That would be a heck of a matchup when you talk about potent offense. Everybody would love to see that.
Right. If we do end up playing them, me and BP, to give them the 1-2 punch like we always do. Just go hard and give up nothing.
Hey, man, I like that. I like your attitude. You keep playing. I'll be out at you guys' game on Saturday against the Ely Tigers. Ely Tigers, look out, because the Bone Crusher and the BP Express is coming to your town. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. This is Mr. P. Now, joining the Tony Sands Show, we have another local high school athlete, wide receiver, Mr. George Rushing, is joining the Tony Sands Show. What's up, George?
Nothing much.
What's going on with you, man?
Ain't nothing much. Just trying to get ready for this Everglades game and just focus on the field.
Now you say you got Everglades. And for Brazos, it's pretty tough from here. They got a new coach, but they barely got by South Broward. What have you seen? Have you seen film of Everglades, and what have you seen on film that make you guys feel like you can take advantage of their defense?
Well, I mean, from watching the defense from comparison from South Plantation game to South Broward game, South Plantation game, they look aggressive. They look aggressive in both games. But at the same time, when I watched South Broward, they were in a spread and they didn't adjust. They ran from a 4-4 to a 4-3 defense, and they didn't really adjust. So, I mean, the offense that we run, we basically run with South Broward run, but extended version. And we run way more what they run. So, I mean, if they're not going to adjust, they're just going to expose them.
And I'm going to tell you something. You guys have, outside yourself, two of the top receivers over at Cardinal Givens High School.
Trevon Lee, Christian Blake. We actually have another receiver that's been doing really well, Sam Keebler. Our running back has been doing really well, Anton Hodge and Deion McIntosh.
All right, McIntosh is going to be that's one of the upcoming young guys that's going to be a name that people will hear throughout the country. But I tell me this now. Tell me this. I'm quite sure Everglades are going to look in. They're going to look to come in, and, you know, with Coach Taylor and knowing what he do, they're going to look to come in and try to run the ball down your throat. Do you see that happening against you guys' defense?
No, we worked too hard over the summer. We were working way too hard in practice. We watched way too much film. We know what they're going to do. They can't beat us at any angle. We're ready for them.
Now, your guy is committed to Louisville. And watching Louisville and Charlie Strong, Louisville is doing some great things. Are you excited with the opportunity to go and play for Coach Charlie Strong?
I'm honored. They're doing some great things right now. I mean, building the program. I mean, if you look at the timeline, what they did over the last 4 years, it's just crazy. And just watching the Ohio game was a revelation to me and what they're doing. I mean, they had about 8 different receivers touch the ball that game, and, I mean, 4 of them went for almost 100 yards.
What was it about Charlie Strong that made you decide that you would love to go to Louisville? A guy like yourself that has so many offers. What was it about Charlie Strong that made you commit to the University of Louisville?
I mean, he's a very motivational speaker. And I mean, he's just a really cool guy, man. He's just a really down-to-earth guy. And I mean, he tell you how it is. And I mean, I like that. And I like what he's been doing with the program. And I mean, I know a couple of players on the team. I mean, from talking to him, I mean, it, just like what he says, and he used to coach at Florida a while ago, and my dad used to play there, and my dad also said he's a really good coach and everything, so, I mean, it's amazing.
and I'm telling you, I had an opportunity briefly to meet Charlie Strong. I mean, he was on the same shuttle leaving the airport going to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. And I sat down and I talked with Charlie Strong. And one thing I noticed about him, as you say, he tells the truth. He's a quiet, laid-back type of guy, but he's one of the best keepers of minds in the country. And I know when he had that opportunity to play the University of Florida in that bowl game, I know a lot of that kind of stuff. A lot of that revenge factor to me was in his mind. He downplayed it, but I knew it had to be in his mind. Now tell me this, what's some of you guys' team goal and what's your individual goal that you want to see happen this year for you, for yourself and
I mean, as a team, we just want to take each game and just want to go one game at a time. And we want to go out there and dominate. And we want to prove to people that we're not no slouch. So we're going to go out there, we're going to compete. And we're aiming for a national and state championship. And my personal goals, I mean, just go out there each week and just show people that I'm an elite player.
Hey, Chief. Man, thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. I will be at your game against Everglades, and I do not want to be disappointed. I want to see all the receivers get 100 yards. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. I'll hit you up tomorrow. Let's take care of Everglades this week. Tell the guys, I say, I see them out at the game, and I want to be satisfied when I leave. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show.
Hey, no problem, Coach.
Now, that was Mr. George Rushing, wide receiver, one of the top wide receivers in the country that's joining Louisville for the 2014 season. Stay tuned here as the Tony Sands Show as me and Mr. Bibbs get deep into sports throughout the nation here on the Tony Sands Show.
Sensational parties and more by Clandra Sands. Where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversaries, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
I am Tony Sands. Me and my main man, Mr. D, are talking sports throughout the nation. We left off on Johnny Manziel before we spoke with the high school guys. Now, do you think when Johnny Manziel was coming off the sideline and Coach Sumlin went to him, do you feel in any way that he disrespected Coach Sumlin by keep walking?
No, I don't think he disrespected him, Tony. I know a lot of the, you know, TV analysts and the TV critics have stated that they felt like that was, you know, disrespect towards his coach. But I really don't think, I think he was more of embarrassed that he was, you know, getting, you know, yelled at or getting, you know, chastised about the antics that he was pulling on the field. I think he listened to him. He heard what he said. Well, what was he supposed to, we don't know if his mouth, he could have just said, yes, sir, and kept moving. You know, we don't really know if he even said anything back. I think we were coaching him. I obviously saw that coach was upset by what he was doing on the field.
And so I feel like he's in a lot of situations. I always say that, Bill, for the simple fact, if he would have stopped and gave a bad gesture, then they would have ate him up on that side. He was in a no-win situation. And if you look throughout games, you see it happening all the time where guys come up to the sideline, coach talk to him, and they continue to walk. They don't stop and continue to walk unless a coach grab them to turn in their direction. I think it was just, hey, I'm going to get in your ear. We're going to walk because national television is on yourself and I, and we're going to walk, and we're going to pretty much tell you, I'm going to tell you what I got to tell you, because the only person I want to know this is yourself and I. And I think that's what it is. I think Johnny Manziel, to me, handled that situation. I see Johnny Manziel, in the same eyes, I see a guy like a Brett Favre. I see him as a miniature version of Brett Favre. No doubt.
Yeah, a very fiery type player, you know, and I think that's just the way he plays the game, you know, and I can't take that from him. You know, he plays the game very fiery. If somebody says something to him on the field, he's going to say something back to him. You know, he's a Heisman winner. You know, he's the best player, regarded as the best player in the country last year. So, you know, he has the right to, you know, to be like boastful about it, but in a way he does. You know, and I don't think it makes him a bad person. I just think he's a very competitive guy, and the Rice players were jawing at him, and he just happened to say something back to him. Look at the scoreboard, check the scoreboard out, and, you know, pay me at the end of the day. But I don't think he's a bad. I don't think that. I think he was blown out of proportion, you know, by the media and by, you know, ESPN and all these social networks. I don't think it should have been as big as it was. If he wasn't a Heisman Trophy candidate, we wouldn't have even be talking about it.
But give me Johnny Manziel as my quarterback any day. He can do the antics as long as he can back it up. And he came in that game and showed you that he can back up what he was doing on the field. And I think when he got the personal foul, some people say, if it was Alabama, I'm quite sure in a game against Alabama, he wouldn't have did that. He knew they had that game in the bag, so he knew. And I'm quite sure people in here probably they didn't understand what he was getting, how the antics was coming back at him. And after so long, yeah, any player is gonna come back and lash back at you. It's just like they just say as an animal. You can push a dog in the corner for so long, and he's going to come back at you. So I think that's what happened. And people are not looking at what Rice was doing to Johnny Manziel.
Right. And then, like I said, they were winning the game. You know, and he was, and I don't really understand what the right players were saying to him. You know, they were losing, but I don't think that made Johnny a bad person for doing what the antics that he would pull on the field. Or maybe he did it a little bit too much after every, you know, great play. He did the same thing. He kind of couldn't let it die down towards the end of the game. But hey, he's Johnny Manziel. He's a great football player, a great quarterback, and he's living it up at the end of the day. I think I would do the same thing. Maybe in the way that he's doing it, I would do the same thing. I would live it up. I would take every advantage of it. You know,
that's why I say what I'm saying. I love Johnny Manziel's play. I would never want to see him downplay his ability to play the game because that's how he plays the game with a chip on his shoulder. And I don't blame him. He can take
it. I don't either.
I didn't see anything wrong with it. I couldn't say some people say I'm wrong. Hey, I didn't see anything wrong with it. And as you know, B, I'm out here at a little league football game. This guy is breaking, running the ball. He's psychological against a pumping nose. And he just had a long run in that game. But back to Johnny Manziel, like I said, I don't see anything wrong with it. I see it is what it is. Hey, B, man, hey, you close out the show, man. This is T. Sands. I'm signing off on the Tony Sands Show, B. You continue to give the people, our listeners, the Tony Sands Show and Mr. B. As I'm signing off, you continue to do what you do, man, and make this show even better.
Definitely. Peace. I got you, Tony. I won't let you down, man.
I got you, man. I'll get you up later. I'm going.
Got you. Have a great time. We still live here on the Tony Sands Show. Which man, Mr. B was out of Texas, you know. And back to Johnny Manziel. Like I said, Johnny Manziel is a great football player, and Johnny Manziel, you know, he has every right to, you know, I guess, talk the noise that he was talking. And I don't think he initially started the joint. The Rice players came at him about the situation and about what was going on about the game, and he decided to, you know, say something back. I have no problem with that. I play football, and if somebody came to me and said something to me in the game, and I was up by 20 points, I probably would point the score and tell them, hey, check that scoreboard out. I think y'all losing right now, man. I think you might want to be quiet and probably wait till next year and see if you can do better. But, hey, I guess that's just how the game goes, and I guess the critics don't want to see him do those type of things. I guess they think that he was rubbing the opposing team's noses in the ground. And, I mean, I don't take it like that. I just think it's all fun and games. It's college football, man. Lighten up. I heard one of the sports analysts today, probably yesterday, said that Coach Sumlin probably made a deal with the devil. And I took that to offense. I wouldn't say that Johnny Manziel is the devil. I just think he's a kid that, you know, has a lot of fame right now, a lot of things going for himself. And, you know, he's learning how to live with it. Now, he's going to have to get better at the things that he does. You know, he's going to have to learn how to speak with the media because we have yet to see him on a face media yet because Texas A&M does not allow him to talk to the media. I fear that he might say something that he shouldn't say. But he learned something. And let the kid be who he is, you know, and that's just the bottom line, you know. And I'm going to go back to Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, I'm a big fan of Tim Tebow. I think Tim Tebow is a great player. Like, he has great athletic ability. He can run the ball, yeah. I don't know what happened to his passing because I did see Tim Tebow throw the ball in college. I've always said, I don't know what happened. I don't know how his passing did not translate to the NFL. Maybe it's the arm motion. Maybe it's the velocity. Maybe his velocity on the ball has you know, he's lost some of his velocity. I don't know. But, hey, we have Ms. Smith on the line right now, and she's going to give us our NFL picks for the week. We have the Denver Broncos versus the Baltimore Ravens. Should be a great game. And we have the Dallas Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, versus the New York Giants, which should be an even greater game. How you doing, Ms. Smith? Ms. Smith?
Yes?
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's nice to meet you through the phone. I never had the opportunity to meet you before. But hey, let's get into these picks today. You have the Denver Broncos versus the Baltimore Ravens. Let me know what you got.
I'm going Denver. Even with Champ Bailey and Von Miller out, I still think Denver can pull it off.
I agree. I think with Denver being at home, it's going to help them, you know, with those losses. What you say, Champ Bailey's out with the foot injury and Von Miller being suspended. I think though the home field advantage should, you know, play a big factor into them, you know, winning this ball game. You know, and then the pressure's on Denver because of the sign of Joe Flacco. The sign that Joe Flacco has at their stadium. I know the Denver fans are, you know, like, they better win this game, especially coming off their loss in the playoffs to the Baltimore Ravens last season, you know, with the Hail Mary pass that shouldn't have been caught. You know, if the player would have been deeper than the deepest receiver, that wouldn't have happened. You know, but, yeah, I agree with you, Ms. Smith. I think the Denver Broncos will come out victorious. Do you have a score?
I have a what?
A score.
No, I didn't think about it.
Oh, you didn't think about it? Well, that's fine. I'm going to say this could be, you know, Peyton Manning should light the scoreboard up with Baltimore Ravens having so many new players on the defensive side of the football. I'll go 29-21, Denver Broncos. What do you think about that?
I think that sounds good.
Okay. Well, now let's get on to these Cowboys and the Giants.
This one's tough because of the Giants' injuries, and there are two records on the line. The Giants have not lost in Cowboys Stadium, although it's not called Cowboys Stadium anymore. But
right.
Cowboys have not lost a season opener against the Giants since 1960. So a record has to be broken, and I'm going to go with the Giants winning.
So that's the record you're gonna pick the Giants to win at at the AT&T Stadium now?
Yes,
well,
AT&T Stadium.
I absolutely hate the Giants, being a Cowboys fan. So there's no way in hell that I could pick the Giants to win this game.
And I'm a Giants fan that absolutely hates the Cowgirls. So, well, I'm not picking them.
We're perfect match then, right? Perfect match, right? Okay, okay. But, yeah, I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game. Like you said, they haven't lost the season opener to the Giants since 1960. And I don't see that trend changing anytime soon. I say Giants.
I'm hoping JPP is healthy and we win it.
Well, I haven't heard much. Is he going to play?
He practiced. Victor Cruz and JPP practiced. So, I'm hoping they play.
Well, I thought Cruz would play. I think they were milking. I mean, I do know a heel injury could be pretty painful, but I know they could give him a shot in that heel. And I don't see him missing. I don't see him missing a game against the Cowboys, an opening game against the Cowboys. So I really do think he'll play. And yeah, that's always been a tough matchup for the Cowboys to stop Victor Cruz. And not even just the Cowboys, anybody in the NFL. Because this kid is a dynamic slot receiver and one of the best in the game. But as far
and with him and Hakeem Nicks both healthy, I'm hoping it's a good threat against the Cowboys. So
Now let me tell you why I feel like the Cowboys will win this game. They'll run the football. They were able to run the football last year against the Giants. You know, that was probably one of the games that they were able to run the ball, you know, effectively throughout the 2012 season, and it was against your New York Giants. So I think that with the transitioning, with the offensive line coming into play, you know, trying to get some continuity with each other, I think they'll be able to run the football, and that'll help Tony Romo air it out because he, as we know, he has shredded the New York Giants secondary for years. And I don't see nothing change. I don't see anything changing with Dez Bryant and a healthy Miles Austin and Jason Witten. You know, I don't see anything changing. Now, if the Cowboys run the football to add to that, I don't think the Giants have a chance. It could be a blowout, but I'm not going to.
Unfortunately, I kind of agree, but I just can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, this could be a blowout. But you know what though? And even with I'm not a real biased fan like that because you can go ask Tony. I actually picked the Giants to win the division this year. You know, that was a couple of weeks ago before I got the opportunity to see, you know, what the Cowboys were going to do, you know, do in the preseason. And from what I've seen, I think they'll be okay, you know, but I might have to change my mind. I might have to go Cowboys again, you know. I might have to go Cowboys. I don't think the Redskins will take a step back this year. You know, RG3 should be playing, but I think they're going to have to take a step back as far as him running the football like he did last year. I don't think they'll win the division. I think the Cowboys have the best opportunity. I definitely don't think Philadelphia Eagles will win.
No.
And they have no defense. Like, their defense is terrible. I don't see it changing anytime soon because Chip Kelly is not a defensive minded coach. He's more of an offensive minded coach. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't know defenses because he shredded a lot of defenses in the NCAA. But this is the NFL, and I don't know if that offense translates over to the NFL like it was in college. You know, but I'm picking Cowboys. You picking Giants.
Yep.
We'll see next week who comes up with that. We'll see Sunday night.
We will.
We'll see Sunday night. But I thank you for coming to the show today. I thank you for your picks.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Talk to you. You too. We're going to go to a commercial right now. And when we come back, we'll talk the three rookie quarterbacks that are getting their first start in the NFL this season.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
And we're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I'm your main man, Bill, from Texas, filling in for my main man, Tony, who's at a Pee Wee Pop Warner football game right now. It sounded like it was pretty interesting. He had to get off so he could check out what was going on at the game. But like I said before we went on break, we have three rookie quarterbacks starting this week. We have Geno Smith versus he gets his first start versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have Terrell Pryor. He opens up, gets his first start against the Colts. We have E.J. Manuel, first-round draft pick of the Buffalo Bills. He was initially not supposed to start this week, but I guess he's back fully healthy, and he'll get his first start against the Patriots. Now, last year, we had a few rookie quarterbacks come in and do outstanding as rookie quarterbacks in the NFL, and Russell Wilson, Robert Griffin III, Andrew Luck, and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill didn't do as good as those first three that I mentioned, but he still has a lot of upside, and I think he'll be good. But hey, Geno Smith. Geno Smith gets a start for the New York Jets this week and against the Buccaneers. I think he'll do pretty good. The Bucs, they don't really have the greatest of defenses in the world, but Geno Smith doesn't have the greatest of receivers. So I guess that both of those are canceled out, and we'll see what he has to do. I guess he'll have to make up for what he doesn't have. You know, he's a rookie, and he'll have his rookie growing pains, but I think he'll do pretty good. I think he'll do okay. I think he'll be better than Mark Sanchez, but hey, that's not that hard to do, because Mark Sanchez in my sucks. You know, so, hey, Geno Smith, I wish you the best of luck this week. It is the Buccaneers, so you should have pretty good chance at possibly coming up with your first victory. Terrell Pryor, starting quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. He got the nod over, what's the guy? And it doesn't even matter, Matt Flynn. He was supposed to be the starting quarterback this year for the Oakland Raiders, supposedly, but he was beat out for the second time by a younger guy in Terrell Pryor. And he'll open up this week versus the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I don't think that he'll come up with a victory, but I do think he'll get the opportunity to show what he has as a starting NFL quarterback. He's not that good of a polished, he's not that polished of a passer as of yet, and he doesn't really have the greatest of receivers, but I think he has, the Chiefs receivers do have speed, and he does have a gun. He could lay the ball out there, you know, the deep ball out there to them. Now, he's going to have to work on his passing, like I said, but his legs is I think, what gave him or got him the opportunity to be the starting quarterback this week. And, you know, and if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, then maybe they might go with Matt Flynn in week two just to give him the opportunity to start. But I think Terrell Pryor will do okay, probably not. He probably won't light the scoreboard up because the Raiders are not that great of a team. And they're playing against a pretty decent team and a good quarterback in Andrew Luck. So I think they'll probably take an L this week. But I think Terrell Pryor will probably be okay. E.J. Manuel, first-round draft pick for the Buffalo Bills. Initially had surgery a couple of weeks ago on his knee. And they didn't know whether or not he would start or would be able to start the season for them. I guess miraculously he healed pretty fast, and now we have it. He's starting this week. I actually think if he can do a duplicate what he did in the preseason, and I know the preseason has a lot of backups playing, but if he could duplicate what he did in the preseason, that game one, I think he'll be pretty good. With the Patriots, I'm not going to say they're going to have a down year, but I don't think they'll be as good as they were previously. And I think that, you know, He'll be able to do some good things for the Buffalo Bills. He has a good receiver in Stevie Johnson. That should probably be his security blanket. And he has a great running game to lean on and with C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. So that should help him tremendously as a rookie quarterback to be able to hand that ball off to two good backs, you know. And I think that he'll probably do the best out of the three starters. I don't know if they'll win because Tom Brady is a bad man. And, you know, I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll do the best out of the three quarterbacks. But, hey, that's my time here on the Tony Sands Show. I just want to thank y'all for listening to me. This is my first time ever being on air by myself, you know. I want y'all to let Tony know how I did, you know, if he can let me do this again by myself one day, you know. But, hey, thanks for having me. And we're signing out here on the Tony Sands Show. You guys have a great Wednesday night, and we'll see you next week.
Now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.